forgot. I do that every time. Chapter 19, Revelation. Chapter 19, Revelation. I just got finished seeing Revelation 17, 18, the Catholic Church getting wiped out. Everybody up down on earth is crying out and weeping and wailing. Up in heaven, they're rejoicing. Amen. And the Lord's about ready to come back. Amen. And the Lord's a man of war, getting ready to come back. And he's coming back. He's coming back to fight. And Jesus Christ is, matter of fact, I believe the horse is all ready right now. I believe they're saddled, ready to go. You say, well, don't we have 7 years in there? Yeah, we got 7 years, but it's going to be like a twinkling of an eye, man. It's just going to be so fast. Down here, the Bible says, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years in one day. It's only been 2,000 years, going on 2,000 years, or 2 days since Jesus Christ was crucified. And the Bible says, after these things I heard, a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God. Up in heaven, it says much people. People say, oh, heaven's going to be an empty place. No, man. Heaven's going to be a place, a lot of folks there. And true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And the fornication is not only physical, but spiritual. And have avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again, they said, and you know who the great whore is. It's the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic system. And again, they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. We've always said this. There's Catholic people. We got Catholic people sitting in here, ex-Catholic folks that got saved. Right. And they come out of her, like the Bible says, come out of her. And they come out of a false doctrine. And what they've done, they've mixed Baal worship and idol worship with true salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. And they've mixed it up. They've kind of brought it all together, and they got Mary worship, and they got saints worship, and they got praying to saint and all this stuff. And all that stuff is forbidden in the Bible. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only, and not Mary. And Mary's going to have something to say when she gets when people get there at the white throne judgment. And the white throne judgment is going to be at the end of the millennium. And Mary's going to have something to say about them worshiping her. And you see it on the Catholic channel day in, day out. Praying to Mary, pray this, Mary, Mother of God, blessed be the fruit of thy womb, even Jesus. And they go through this whole thing. They got their beads, and that's in Baal worship. That's where they got the beads. You don't find us carrying beads around here. We don't. Some people hold on. If you got a cross around your neck, that's fine. But we don't hold on to a cross and hold them around our neck. We don't have crosses, and there's nothing wrong with having a cross in the church. Nothing wrong with that. We don't have any in here. But because the cross represents a curse. It was a curse of Jesus Christ, and thank God he was a curse for us. And the Bible says the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Now, the 24 elders, you say, who are they? They're probably the 12 patriarchs and probably the 12 apostles, the 24. And it says the four beasts. You say, who are those four beasts? Those four beasts are the cherubims. And the Bible talks about seraphims. They're different. Cherubims, they're the most powerful beings ever created, other than the devil himself. And the devil was a cherubim. He's called the fifth cherubim. He's a fallen cherubim, and that's in Ezekiel, I believe Ezekiel 28. If you go in your Bible, go over to Ezekiel 28, and he's called the cherubim. And these cherubims represent certain animals and men and so on. They represent those things. And if I can find it here, I thought I said Ezekiel 38, but I might be wrong. Ezekiel 28. So those cherubims represent everything on this planet, man and animal. And those cherubims are powerful beings. And the devil was the fifth cherubim, and he represented the reptiles. He represented all those reptiles. He's a serpent as well, and he's called the serpent in the garden. And so if you look in your Bibles, it says in verse 13, and it says, thou hast been in the garden, in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. So these cherubims, they have all kinds of coverings. They got to be some wild-looking things. And it says sardis, topaz, diamond, barley, or onyx, jasper, sapphire, emeralds, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. And the, you know, the Bible says the devil was the cherubim that led the praises of God. He was the one that was the fifth cherubim over top of the throne of God, and he covered the throne of God, and he led the praises of the sons of God. And when he was so beautiful to look upon, he says in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth. There it is. He says, I have set thee so. Thou was upon thy holy mountain, the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's kind of giving you insight of what's happening up in heaven. And it says, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee by the multitude of thy merchandise. And if you read over in Revelation 17, 18, it talks about merchandise. And it talks about the Catholic Church having merchandise. And merchandise was souls of men. They were the souls of men, owning men. And merchandise of they that have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Notice that beauty. You know, and you find a good type of the Antichrist was David's son. David had a son named Absalom, and he had hair. They said he pulled his hair and cut his hair, and then it says he was beautiful to look upon. And he was a type of the Antichrist that's coming. And the devil was beautiful. And now if the devil showed up right now, if he could walk through those doors right there, he wouldn't come in as a fiery dragon. He'd walk in and make you think he was Jesus Christ. Right. He'd come in, he'd be beautiful. Beautiful to look upon. And he's a counterfeit. He's called the God of this world. And he's a counterfeiter. And the Bible says he's the God of this world over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He counterfeits God. He counterfeits everything about, but he has no love for mankind. He has no love for nothing but himself. And he hates. And you see all the hatred coming out of people right now around the world, this hatred. And it says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. You know, the Bible talks about his wisdom. He said the devil was wiser. He's wiser than Daniel. He's wiser than Job. He's wiser than some great men. The devil's had 6,000 years to study men. 6,000 years. So there's not a man made that he doesn't know. He knows how to get to you. He knows how to tempt you. He knows what to bring in front of you if he really wants to get you. But the best thing for any Christian to do is say, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Hide me, Lord, hide me. Lord, wash me, protect me, keep me safe, and cry out to God. Because the Bible talks about pride. We all have pride. Pride goes before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall. He's called the king over all the children of pride over in the book of Job. So our pride is the way the devil would get us. Is if he's going to get you, he's going to try to get you through your pride. That's why the Bible says you better humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You better stay humble. The old saying is you better stay humble or you'll stumble. If you don't stay humble before God and not be lifted up and thinking about how good and great you are or whatever you are, then you'll fall flat on your face every time. The Bible says this in verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire. Check this out. Therefore I will bring a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that beheld thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Woo! Hallelujah. One day, the devil be gone. One day. I watched this program the other night, It was about this guy born on Channel 26. He goes around all around the world and tries different foods and eats with different people in different cultures. And he was with these guys from Germany or Scotland or no, from Switzerland. And they were drinking and they toasted. And when they toasted, I couldn't believe it. They toasted their wine and they were talking about a certain wine they drank and all that. And they toasted their wine and they said, may the devil live forever. They toasted that on CNN. They went, may the devil live forever. May he reign forever.
Wine in California's on fire, amen.
Yeah, the wine in California's on fire. Isn't that something? They toasted, may the devil, right on national TV, may the devil live forever. And may he reign forever. Guess what? You just read, he ain't. I'm on the winning side. He's going to be cast. The Lord said, I'm going to bring a fire. I was up at Sights and Sounds, and I saw this. They were, when the first time I went up there, they had the birth of, it was called the Miracle of Christmas. And they were more, I guess, more Bible then. They were, I mean, I like going to Sights and Sounds, but they got more singing and everything. It was more Bible back then. And when I first went up there, and they showed this guy representing the devil. And this guy was on, they were on cables, and they were coming down, and Caesar was coming out, and he was pronouncing all the death on all the children, 2 years old and under. And Joseph was told by God to get Jesus down into Egypt. And so Herod comes out, and he's pronouncing all this death on all these kids, and the guy on the cable, he turns his sword, and he starts coming down upon Jesus Christ, as you know, representing Jesus Christ. And he's coming down all of a sudden out of nowhere. Michael, the guy representing Michael, the archangel, comes out and takes his sword and hits the devil right in the chest. And fire shot out of him. I thought that was the coolest thing. I stood up and I made everybody in the place start laughing. There were thousands of people there. I stood up, I'm like, kill him! Kill him! Everybody started laughing. Pop-Up and them were looking at me, and they were like, wow. I was into it. I said, kill him! So, one day, the Lord take care of it. You and I ain't no match for him. We're no match. But look here. Look back at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. And it says, the 4 and 20 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. We talked about him being the cherubim, the anointed cherubim. And it says, and the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Praise God. I'll tell you what, you can never go wrong in praising God all the time. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you feel down in the dumps, start praising God. Amen. You start feeling kind of blue, just praise him. Something happens in your life, start praising him. And I'm going to tell you something, no matter what you do, if you start praising him, say, Lord, I just lost my car. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's gone. It's hard to do. You know what that Bible calls that when you do that? It's called the sacrifice of praise. And that's a sacrifice that the Lord knows that, man, you couldn't afford it. And you can't afford to, you know, lose something. But you sacrifice. Okay, God, it's just a thing. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. And you just praise him and sacrifice of praise. It says in verse 6, and I heard as it were a voice of great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I don't understand churches that say, we don't want nobody standing up praising God. We don't want nobody lifting up their hand. We don't want nobody shouting out. We don't want that. I mean, I've seen some churches that, you know, I went to Bob Jones over there when they showed that movie, Sheffy. They didn't allow people to shout or say amen. They don't allow that. When the old man was there, they shouted when the old man was there. But what happens is culture, you come in and the church gets bigger or you get more refined and people start wanting to be more like refined, educated, worldly, you know, worldly kind of way. And I told our church, I said, man, I don't care if we have 1,000 people, I'm still going to shout it out. I don't care if we have 3,000 folks, still going to shout it out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care how many. I've been in crowds of thousands of people instead of shouting my head. I went to the funeral the other day. I know it made everybody nervous. It was funny. I was sitting behind a bunch of people and somebody started singing and I got excited and I shouted. And it's the, and the first, the three heads in front of me, they all went like that. They all ducked. So then I realized if I'm going to shout, I better get up in the back. So I got in the back and I started pacing back and forth. And then everybody thought I was some kind of threat to society. Because I was pacing back and forth going, yeah! Yeah! Am I right, Eric? So Eric went with me. I was just, that's why I stayed in the back, because I scared everybody in front of me. But praising God, you can't go wrong. And try praising him when you're down. Try praising him when things go wrong.
Amen.
Try it. So why? Just hard. It's hard. It's hard to do. But praise him. The Bible says in verse 7, here we go. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife had made herself ready. We covered this last time. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's why I said last week, I think it was last week, I said when a girl walks down the aisle, she wants to walk down in fine linen, white and clean. And that represents purity.
Amen.
So you young girls, when you get, make sure you stay clean.
Amen.
Stay pure.
Amen.
So when you walk down the aisle, you won't feel guilty.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
If you do that, I'll tell you what, God will bless you.
Amen.
And a lot of girls walk down. I'm not against a girl that say she messed up or whatever. She walks in white. That's fine. But if the truth be known, she probably shouldn't wear white.
Right.
Truth should be known. She probably ought to wear something else. A spotted dress. No. No. Yeah. No, I'm just joking. My wife got, we got married. She had a light blue gown, a light blue. She didn't get white. A light blue. That's what we walked down the aisle with. She did, anyway. Did you walk down the aisle? I thought we just came up in the front. And I can't even remember. Can't even remember. So, and we got married. We didn't have nothing. We lived with my parents. And my father said I had to pay $25 a week for her, and I did. And he told me she had to leave, and I said, well, if she leaves, I leave. And then he said, you never had to pay rent here. She has to pay $25. So I had to pay $25, and then at night she had to be the one to clean up the kitchen. I went down to help her. And my sister would come in and make a mess, and if my sister was here, I'd tell her the same thing. She knows. She would make a mess, and then my father would come to the door and say, Linda, get down here and clean this kitchen up. And she would look at me, she said, I just cleaned. Your sister came in. I said, well, let's go do it. Let's go do it. We went down and cleaned it up.
Amen.
She just did it, and no matter what, just did it.
Amen.
Lord took care of it. So it says, a fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they that are called on the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am a fellow servant of thy brethren. He's a Jew that have the testimony of Jesus and worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now go take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 25. People get this mixed up. And we are the bride. He is the groom. We're the bride of Christ. And I told you last week, I think a week before, I said I always had a problem with thinking about me being a bride. You know, I said, I don't want to be no bride. I ain't no bride. I ain't no cross-dresser. I'm not no drag queen and all that stuff. And but then I realized it's not talking about the physical sense of a man and a woman's now. But we're part of Jesus Christ. We're part of his body. But the bride of Christ is the church, is those that are saved. I don't care. We're not Baptist briders. And a Baptist brider church says only the Baptists are in the bride. That's it. We're not a Baptist brider church. We don't believe that because it's not in the Bible. And but we believe there's people that are saved in every denomination. There's people saved in the Catholic Church because the Bible wouldn't say, come out of her, my people, if there wasn't people there that was saved. There's people that are saved in Presbyterian. There's people that are saved and Episcopalian. You say, can a person be saved and still be in that same religious system? Yes, because in Revelation 17 and 18, the Lord tells the people to come out of her, coming out of the Catholic Church, get out of there. So what we try to do when somebody gets saved, we try to direct them here or to a Bible-believing church to get them out of that system.
Amen.
And that system is damnable. I mean, it messes people up. And because they don't go along with the Bible, they don't believe the Bible, number one, and they don't tell anybody to read their Bible. You never find a priest getting up saying, read your Bible, read your Bible. You never find that. They won't do that. Because they don't want to, when you read the Bible, you're a threat to their system.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's why we always tell people, read your Bible. So a Mormon comes up, a Jehovah's Witness come up, they're cults.
Right.
A guy was just telling me, the other day, a guy cut my hair. He goes, yeah, my mother-in-law's a Mormon. And he goes, well, I'm kind of in a fix. And I said, well, she's in a cult. And that's what she is. And look at chapter 25. This is where this, when the Bible talks about the guest of the bridegroom. Now, the Baptist briders, they believe that anybody that's not a Baptist and haven't been baptized by a Baptist preacher, you're a guest of the bridegroom. You're not part of the bride. That's what they believe. And we don't believe that. We believe if you're saved, I don't care what religion you're in, and I believe you ought to get in a Bible-believing church, but if you're saved, you're in the bride of Christ, because the Bible teaches that. But there's religion, there's Church of God, there's Assembly of God, there's some Pentecostals. I said this other week, I said the Pentecostals teach, some Pentecostals, they teach, you have to be baptized or repent, be baptized and speak in tongues. That's what they teach, to be saved, which is not true. That's a lie. So you got all this stuff. That's why it's so important to know your Bible. And that way you don't get mixed up. Because when I first got saved, I ran into everything. Because you know why? Because I was telling everybody. I got saved, man. God changed my life. So then I start talking to somebody. They say, well, I'm a Church of Christ, or I'm a Pentecostal, or I'm a... And I said, what is that? And they start telling me. And they said, well, you got to come to our church if you want to be really saved. And I go, what? I got saved. I know I got saved. So all this stuff was confusion. And the Bible says God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Religion tries to confuse things. When you start reading your Bible, you start studying your Bible, it straightens out confusion. And I had these guys, I had a guy telling me, he said, if you're really saved, you'll speak in tongues. And I went, so I went to this charismatic church with him. And man, they were all speaking in tongues and everything. And I remember a preacher said something about the blood of Jesus Christ. Devils, unclean spirits can't stand the blood. And this guy's sitting in front of me going, hashtag, and I leaned up. I went, I just thought I'd check it out. I went, blood of Jesus. And he went, oh. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking, man. The guy, he'd wait a few minutes, and then the guy go, hashtag, I go, blood of Jesus. And then, oh. I thought, what they got ain't God's spirit.
Amen.
Ain't God's, try it out. Don't go to charismatic. See somebody choking to death. I tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful.
Yes, sir.
I told you about me dealing with that guy, and I mentioned the blood of Jesus Christ. His eyes rolled back his head. I'll tell you what, I preached that somewhere, and I remember I was preaching to a bunch of teenagers. They were all walking around all week. It was at a camp or something. They were all walking around going, blood of Jesus, looking at each other, looking in their eyes, looking at everybody. Blood of Jesus. Look at here. Here's where this fits right here. Matthew chapter 25, it fits back here about the blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the reason why, because in the tribulation period, people are going to be called, and they're going to be called right here. That's where Matthew 25 fits. In the middle of the tribulation period, people are going to be called. The marriage is going to, the judgment seat first. The Bible says God's going to straighten out the church.
Right.
He's going to iron out all the spots and wrinkles. He's going to straighten out the bride. So when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of straightening out. The Lord's going to straighten out. And then you go to the marriage supper. But see, in Matthew 25, look at here. This is where it comes in. A lot of Baptist preachers are preaching all, this is the church. No, it ain't. This ain't the church.
Amen.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven, notice it says kingdom of heaven, not kingdom of God, be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps. And you say, who's the virgins? Who are the 10 virgins? You got over in Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 14, you'll find 144,000 virgin male Jews. They're representing that. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil within their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, notice you underline that word midnight. Underline that word. Why? Because when Jesus comes back at the rapture of the church, it's going to be on the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 to 6 in the morning. That's talking about the 2,000 years. At the end of that 2,000 years, that's the fourth watch. Jesus came walking on the water on the fourth watch of the night. This is at midnight, right in the middle. So when is that? That's right in the middle. At midnight. So midnight of what? In the midnight of the 7 years. You know what midnight is? Midnight is, you got the first watch is from 3 to 9, and then from 9 to 12 is the second watch. So if you're going to go through 4 watches on the 7 years, you got to go through 4 watches. That'd be the second watch. Why? When the Antichrist, when he says, you either receive the mark or die. And a lot of people are going to die. But they're not part of the church. They're not part of the bride. The bride is already gone. The marriage is taking place. But they come in. Look what it says. It says, verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish, they're saying, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. And it says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So here's the marriage takes place here. They get to go in as guests. And it says, in verse 10, while they went to buy, look at 11, afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. So that can't be the church. If it's a church, the Lord knows the church. He knows everyone. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So that's talking about, Matthew 25 is talking about tribulation. It's talking about going into tribulation. And when Jesus comes back here in Revelation 19, that's at the end. That's when he's coming back. He's coming back to fight. And we'll have to cover that next time. All right. Brother Ken, why don't you come on and take a prayer request?